Hey people, my name is Aram, my pronouns are he, him, and welcome back to God's Fall. In order to move God's Fall to a game we record virtually, we've had to invest in audio gear for all of our players. We really need to recoup some of our expenses to keep the show going throughout the entire season. For $5 a month, you'll get access to a bunch of original stories, art, maps, my complete DM's notes, and early God's Fall releases, including the first four episodes of Season 6. Check us out at patreon.com/godsfall. If you want to donate to the show, you can do so at paypal.me/godsfall or ko-fi.com/godsfall. If you cannot afford to donate, don't worry. We'd love for you to leave us a review to help get the show in front of more people. To find all the places you can support and review God's Fall, head over to doesitroll.com/support. So please enjoy the premiere of God's Fall Season 6 and listen to the next episode right now at patreon.com/godsfall.
My name is Michael. My pronouns are he, him. I play Zion Preeton, the newly arisen god of force.
My name is Doug, and my pronouns are he and him. And I play Doro Knot, the newly arisen god of travel.
My name is Joe. My pronouns are he, him. And I play Lord Haldir Loran, the newly arisen god of war.
My name is Kelly. My pronouns are she, her, and I play Rena Falaval, the arisen god of luck.
So, Rena and Doro were headed out of the hotel room in order to search Hog's Feet for fellow thieves, basically. Fellow thieves that you could talk thief to and possibly find out some information. You know that Tiago Reis and Grabby Hand, so we know his name Cyril Avantis, but you've never actually heard his name. You know that those two were in town at some point to set up this ambush, to kill Paris whole family, turn them into monsters, and set them against you. At some point, he had to come here and do that. That trap had to be laid. So, you two had left Zion and Para to kind of talk together and, like, figure out where they were. Para's pretty upset. You two had kind of left them alone. Caitlin and Haldir had gone off and done something, and you two are now just in Hog's Feet. It's like 6 or 7 p.m. It's getting later, but it's still incredibly busy. The festival is in full swing. What are you guys looking for?
Well, as a rogue, I actually have a network I can actually tap into. It's like I have a contact, and I know how to get in contact with him anywhere. Basically,
so you know that there is a group of herders, of Goliath herders, right? And they herd Granta. And there is a herd of, like, as you guys are looking across, and like there's a big stockyards where they do a lot of their livestock and their prized livestock and the horses for the different events. And there's a bunch of Granta in those pens. And you can see the big blue stripes painted along their side that definitely identifies them as part of this herd. And you know that there's a Goliath herder among those that runs a smuggling ring. And if anyone knows what's going on in this town, it's going to be her.
Okay, well, then I inform Rena about this potential contact to the network and suggest that we go and speak to the Goliath herders.
I'm just following.
All right, well, I'll take the lead.
And also, Automil's with you. Yes, I am also here.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Is that it? It's just us three?
Correct.
Well, then, rather than ignoring Automil, I inform both of them at the same time.
That does seem promising. There was something I was going to follow up on my own. Are you all okay?
Don't worry. I'll take care of Rena. You go do what you have to do. You can see us in a couple seconds.
Wait, what are you
going to
go? What are you going to go look at?
There are some people I wish to talk to while I am here. Do not worry. I am in good hands.
And he does a little bow, and then he's just gone. He just zips out of there.
I mean, if anyone's going to be okay by themselves, it's going to be him.
Aramia wants to kill Paris still, so this is not great that I'm just letting him go by himself.
Oinkers also looks slightly concerned. Oinkers looks a little worried as Aramia takes off, but quickly, you know, forgets.
Okay, so is Oinkers, like, chilling with me? Is that, like...
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oinkers is with you all. Oinkers stayed behind when Torvik left. So Torvik left right before you guys pulled into Capania back in Rizon. So Torvik's been gone for a while.
So I turn to Oinkers and I go, Oinkers, between the two of us, do you think you could keep an eye on Aramiel? Because I need to figure out what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
if he gets anywhere near Para, I need you to
kill him.
Something. Like,
fast. Yeah. Oinkers thinks he can do that. Well, Oinkers, like, again, you don't... Can you speak with animals?
I mean, at this point, I feel like me and Oinkers have a communication system.
Oinkers, with nonverbal communication, Oinkers can physically do things. Like, if you said, raise your right leg, Oinkers would raise her right leg. If you said, nod, Oinkers would nod. Like, so you can communicate that way, yeah. I introduced a version of Oinkers into the Escape the Union game, and someone could speak with animals, and I was caught off guard because I didn't consider it. And so Oinkers is now a himbo, or a shimbo, I suppose, because Oinkers kind of talks like this. And like, I had no choice. Like, I just launched into it, and I was stuck with it. So,
to Vicky? Yeah,
exactly, exactly. It's exactly what it is. All right, so yeah, so Oinkers nods and looks very serious and turns into like a little peregrine falcon, a little pink one, has a little wing salute, and then just takes off and goes flying after Aramiel.
And I tried to make sure that Doro didn't hear that mini conversation where we talked about Para being a problem.
Like, Doro, would you be trying to listen in to her talk to Oinkers?
So oddly enough, perfect. I'm so glad you segued like that, because as you look up from your little secret meeting, Doro's gone. Where did Doro go? Oh, no. Where did Doro go?
Oh, dear. All right, Doro, where have you gone?
I've definitely just assumed they were staying right behind me as I was basically leading off. And much like I often do with Wild Abaddon, I am just, you know, blinking ahead.
Are you hiding?
No. I'm using it as a form of travel. She can keep up because she's an acrobat to some degree, and he is like, he moves like lightning.
Right, but you just
know,
like
so
blink
I outrun him
every
anyway.
30 feet. Yeah. You just, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just going like up the road or something, but I use it as like a form of travel too sometimes when I'm really lazy.
What did Rita roll for perception?
Okay, I got a 27.
All right, that's plenty. So you're used to this, and you're used to trying to spot Doro because Doro does this. So you see Doro like popping up the road. Now the road is filled with revelers. A lot of them are drunk, and so Doro, like every 30 feet, appears, picks someone's pocket, appears, grabs someone's. Like he's just stealing as he's going along, right? And so I would say Doro, by the time you got to the stables, you've gained 10 gold. In various items. Okay. You also have three things of food and like a whole tankard of ale. Like you're all lined up.
And then literally I could use this to like barter with the content.
You can 100%.
Like, here, I got you.
I got
here.
Some shit. Yeah. All right. So you are outside a very large stables. There's multiple buildings set up. There's a large open area where they do all the, the hog. I don't know. Like, is it a pretty hog? I don't know. I honestly don't know how you rate a hog, but however you do rate a hog. Yeah, here's a ribbon for the largest hog. Here's a ribbon for the best hog. Here's a ribbon for the hog races. Like, all that stuff happens in this area, but you're at one of the auxiliary stables where they keep the animals and then prep them to be shown.
Okay. Just as a quick glance, as I'm coming into the stables, I want to kind of examine the different, I know I have no animal anything.
Sure.
I'm totally aware of that. Yeah. But like even me as a person can walk into a 4-H tent and say, that's probably the
God, you're so you know from I mean? Ohio. Like, you're so from Ohio that you walk in instead
hard.
Of a 4-H
Dude,
tent.
It's so not that hard because, like, most of the entries to those types of things are all, like, covered in, like, mud and crap and stuff. You're like, what the hell? And there's always one person who takes this way too seriously. And, like, they're blow-drying the sheep and stuff and giving it a balayage. And you're like, what the hell?
So I would say that the first thing you would notice are the Granta. So there are 24 of these massive creatures. They are about at their shoulders, they're as tall as elephants, right? And they have these fantastically large horns. They're like giant boars, right? If they also had like a rhino's horn coming off the front, and also two big tusks on either side. So they got like a little tripate of weaponry on the front of them, right? And they're just massive. And they're all very well taken care of. They all have these big blue stripes painted along them and are very clearly, you know, like they like there's no other Granta there. So there's no real competition, right?
Right.
Very
right.
few people heard a Granta.
Okay. So a couple little background questions real quick. Have I ever seen a Granta before?
Physically in person, no. There'd be no reason for you to. They're really only in Wessel. So I don't think you would have seen these before.
Okay, so this is like my first encounter. So it's kind of dinosaur-like.
Yeah.
And this contact that I'm about to link up with real quick, I don't know this person or something, do I? Or how do you want to do that?
I would say I think you know her through a friend of a friend. So one of the halflings that used to belong to your old guild in Port Bliss, one of them spoke very fondly of this particular, like there was a night where they were in Wessel and they were like just like out in the fields camping because they like to camp. They're a weird halfling that way and just came across this giant herd of Granta. Was so fascinated by it that they had to go investigate, ended up breaking camp with these Goliaths who were very amused to meet a halfling. Right. And it just was a good night and would tell this story over and over again until you guys knew every single detail. So you feel like you know her. She is a particularly short Goliath, although she's still like 7 feet tall. Right. But for a Goliath, she's a little on the short side.
Do you want to name her or do you want me to dance around that?
Already got you covered, my friend. I have all the names already prepared.
Excuse me, I'm looking for a Jennifer.
Neera, you are looking for a Neera. And you spot her pretty simply. There are several Goliaths in and about the area. None are inside this kind of like oversized barn right now, that except for one woman who is clearly her at the back of the barn. And she's got one of the Granta's feet up on this huge, basically stump. And she's trying to get a rock out between its like little bony toes.
Ooh, should I help? Should I not help? Maybe I shouldn't help.
And then, like, right as he's, like, walking in the barn and he's doing his assessment, Rena just goes, like, and then she goes, okay. Looks around the barn and is just like, all right. And then just, like, stands behind Doro and is just, like, just staring at everything and just being like, she's, like, not even, like, she's just kind of like, this is happening.
All right. So, Doro, what do you do?
As Rena catches up, you know, out of breath a little, I turn to her like as if she had been there the whole time, not missing a beat or anything. And I say, find the most important animal in this stable right now.
Oops. Okay. Just like, and then just like, I just start to glance around to like see, because I've been in a forest my whole life. So like, I'm just like looking around being like, what looks the most nice and healthy looking one that it's got going on.
Roll me animal handling or nature. You could roll me nature as well.
Ooh, I want you to do nature. I didn't do great. I got 12.
Like, you've never seen anything like this either. There's nothing like this in the Ironwood. These, you've heard of Granta. Everyone's heard of them. It's like everyone's heard of an elephant. Not everyone's seen one. Everyone's heard of a polar bear, right? Like all the big monsters that are normal in your world, you've heard of. And they all look very impressive. But the one that Neera's trying to get the rock out of the paw is clearly larger than the rest of them, stands a full foot higher than the rest of them.
So Rena just like points over Dora's shoulder, like in the direction, like right next to his head, like past his, and she just goes like, that one.
And as Doro's kind of like glancing at what this lady's doing, he looks back at Rena and gives her a nod, you know, and flicks one of the coins that he stole at her.
You tip her?
Like, sure, why not? Whatever. Don't worry, I'll take it back. Then I go over and I approach Nira. Excuse me.
She doesn't even look up, and she just... and she pops like a rock out of this thing's toe that's basically the size of your head. And she turns over. What you need, Halfling?
Your name's Nira, right?
And she stands up and cracks her shoulders, folds her arms, and looks down at you. Yeah, my name's Nira.
So you're probably friends with friends of mine. And I'm looking for some information. I'm trying to find some people.
Okay, what's the Halfling's name that you're trying to find? I mean, sorry, what's the Halfling's name that you would have known?
Let's say his name was Gerbel. G-E-E-R-B-E-L.
Okay, excellent. Gerbel, the Halfling. All right, yeah. So,
yeah.
And then, like, a smile spreads across her face, and she kind of leans down, and she gets right at your, well, as close to your level as she can be. She's like, oh, Gerbel! And then she laughs, and she's like, you must be one of the Halflings from... You know, because Gerbel told her everything about you guys. So she's got all the stories about you guys. So she knows exactly who you are. And she laughs. And says, how is Gerbel?
Anyways, I have a really important message to get into the network. If you could also send that in as well.
All right. What do you got to say?
I have a rolled up note that I hand her, basically. And,
a little, little teeny note, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a little tiny note, basically. Just make sure that this gets as deep and far into the network as possible.
Okay. What does the note say?
So the note, all it says is, I'm watching you. What was his name? Randall or something?
Randall.
Fucking Randall.
Yeah. Randall. Yeah. Your enemy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's all it says.
Right.
It's just an empty bluff threat that I know that he's watching the network and is like he'll picking things out. And he'll see this little tiny fucking note that I wrote for no one saying that I'm watching him, basically, just to freak him out.
She just kind of laughs and she carefully rolls up this tiny, tiny note and she puts it into her pocket. I can do that. Anything else?
Yeah, I just need to find these two individuals. And I basically, I start telling her about Sabu. Who's the other person we're
looking for?
No,
you're looking for
Sabu?
No, it's Cyril and, well, we don't know his name, but
Cyril Avant.
Oh, Cyril.
Yeah. And Tiago.
Do you guys know his name?
No.
But wait, do you know his name as Cyril? You don't know it. So you know Grabby Hands, but you can describe what he looks like. Well, yeah.
I'll describe Grabby Hands.
If you guys have seen the art for Malvorn, that's basically also the art for Grabby Hands. So imagine him like that. Tall, blonde, looks like a jock from an 80s movie, that kind of thing. And then also for Tiago Reese. So you're looking for those two individuals.
Yeah, I go into like light description, nothing too like super detailed or anything, because I don't think I have like that good of information on what they look like other than firsthand accounts. So.
Yeah, she's listening to you and she's nodding and she doesn't seem to give away anything as she's listening, but she's hearing you. She also puts a giant trunk on this table in front of her as she slams it down and opens up the lid.
Can Rena be looking at her face to see if she, like, when Doro is describing what Tiago and Cyril look like, can she, like, be, like Rena wants to be, like, trying to get a beat on her about,
you want
like,
to do you want to kind of, like, do an insight and see what she's, see if she's, like, if there's any, like, recognition? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I get a nat one, so I don't notice. The animals are just so new and just...
Yeah, that's exactly what happens, actually. There's a, one of them just, also I rolled a natural 20 for her.
Wow.
We are the opposite sides of the coin.
And they're loud and they're kind of stompy. So yeah, that just distracted you. But what she does is she sets a giant chest down and she starts pulling items out of it. All the items look, they're all kind of assorted. Like none of them have anything to do with each other. One of them is a obsidian candle. One of them is a smaller chest that comes out of the first chest. One is a single coin that she puts down and she's placing all these items down and she's listening to you. She's like, well, that's interesting because a fella did enter here not 3 days ago, matched that description exactly for Tiago Reese.
Okay, not surprising.
Rena's triggered.
Had some questions to ask and had a picture with him. And she lays out a single ruby. She lays out a very intricate copper lantern that has the carvings of dragon heads along the side of it. And she puts down a silver flask that has religious symbology carved along it. If one of you wants to roll a religion check, you can try and figure out what that is. And then also a smooth ivory disc. Oh, and a very simple clay pot that you would see at like a hardware store to like maybe grow a little plant, that kind of thing.
I got a 14 for religion.
It has the symbology of the old god of life, Yala, along it. Two things I have for you here. Sounds like you all are adventuring type. I have some items. Magical items. They do herd Granta, but she uses it as a cover to smuggle magical items across Wessel. So she has some magical items, and she knows some information about some of them. Mm. She knows a little information about some of them. So she's willing to tell you what you need to know about Tiago if you purchase something.
Oh, so I have to buy something in order for her to
give you the info.
Give me the information.
Exactly.
So it's like I'm paying for the information, but she also wants to give me a magic item out of it?
Well, they all cost different prices, so keep that in mind.
Okay. Oh, and so the information might not cost the amount of the magic item, and you wouldn't know
right. Unless
you could appraise both.
So
that's kind of fucked.
Do you want to know what the items are? Well, what she knows about the items anyway.
Let me get a list going here, huh?
All right. So first there's a black candle. There's an ebony candle that costs 50 gold. And she holds it up, she lights it, and she douses the candle in a cup of water and pulls it back out, and it hasn't gone out. And then she blows it out, and it goes out. So it's a candle that can be lit underwater or stay lit underwater.
Is it lit while it's underwater or?
Yeah, it stays,
oh my God,
it's,
Zion
it stays
would
lit.
Kill for that thing.
Zion's going to like
oh
a lot
God.
Of these things. So that,
wow.
So that's the first item. The second item is a small chest about big enough to hold a single week's worth of rations. And she opens it and she pulls out a single apple that's inside of it. This apple has been in this chest for an entire year. Have a bite.
I'm just supposed to take your word for this?
Yes.
No, thank you. I won't bite the apple, but thank you.
She takes a big bite out of it. It crunches. The inside of it is perfect. Any food or any item that can spoil, you place inside this chest, so stay perfect forever.
Forever.
250 gold. Then the next item is an ivory disc about 5 inches across. Which of you are dirtiest?
Doro.
Me. Duh. Wait, you asked that.
I was like, why did you even ask?
No, I need to know, but she's just looking at you. So she
also, thank you for asking. I mean, that would just be rude, just assuming I'm the dirtiest. Thank you for doing that. But let's all come together on this.
If Torvik was here, I would have assumed. For the rest of you.
Oh
right?
Yeah, Torvik, I guess, could be right. Me. Yeah.
So she leans down and she brushes this disc against your back. And it's very smooth and cold to the touch. And as she does, all the dirt and all of the filth, like if there's a stain in your jacket from like cotton candy or whatever, it all's gone. You're just clean. Like you just stepped out of a shower and had freshly laundered clothes.
So is this
just a cleansing stone?
What?
Is this just prestidigitation?
But only for this particular thing. It just cleans you. It was used by priests of, it was used by the old priests of order. To basically, because they believed in being absolutely spotless while they were doing their incantations.
Oh, all these items would work great for our like future plans of a panini shop and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
because now we could have a laundromat.
That's true. We could have a laundromat. So that costs 500 gold.
Yes.
Then she picks up the copper coin and she's like, "This is a little more detailed." And she said, "I am 7 feet tall." And she holds the coin up and she drops it. And it falls and hits the ground and makes 7 pings. When this coin is dropped, it shall return a ding for every foot that it was dropped.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
It's like a measuring tape.
That's Where are you pulling these items out? Are you making them up?
All of these are common magic items because the D&D is filled with very common magic items. And I figured that any of these common magic items that would have been prevalent in a world where there was magic, in a world where there isn't magic, all seem like miracles, even though they're basically just cantrips.
Yeah. I just want to say, I love this. I love this over like a flaming sword. That stuff is like whatever.
Right.
This is like
these are fun.
Practical use and stuff. Like magic has a use now. And that's so cool. All right. Anyway.
So that single copper coin costs 100 gold.
You didn't tell us how much the ivory disc was.
The ivory disc is 500 gold. Then she turns to the lantern. Now this lantern is very special. And she runs her hands over. Now she's like fully selling it, right? You light this lantern and there's oil in it, right? And she turns it and she lights it and it glows with a very bright, very beautiful flame and all this intricate carving. Normally, normal lantern, oil will last 6 hours. However, if a dragon is near, it will burn brighter and burn the color of said dragon. Do you want more of the best role-playing podcasts you have ever heard? Then check out our new TTRPG podcast network, Does It Roll?
That's a 9 force damage.
Wow, okay. Ooh. Your Eldritch Blast just explodes the throat away. The body just lies there, black ooze spraying out.
We are the official home of Wizards of the Coast Rime of the Frostmaiden game, and we have several adventures already posted for you to enjoy. You can check us out weekly on Twitch at twitch.tv/doesitroll, or check out the podcast versions at doesitroll.com. It's a lantern that, when lit, if there's a dragon within a mile, it will burn brighter and burn with the color of that dragon. So if it's a blue dragon, it'll burn blue. If it's a red dragon, it'll burn red. Dragons haven't been seen for 100 years. So there's,
right.
It's not, you really can't prove this, but she claims it's true.
Wait, don't we know there's a dragon? Because we saw like the one that's in Utea.
Yeah, you saw visions of it. Yes, correct. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So you know, you think there are dragons. Assuming that was a vision in your timeline, in your current reality, yeah. There are dragons. Yeah. Yeah. But like, they're not a problem. And she quotes 2,500 gold for this lantern.
That's it?
The ruby is a 1-inch ruby when you place it into a weapon. So let's say that Zion put it against his staff. It would merge with his weapon and then allow him to use it as a spell focus. So it's for magic users, basically. So he'd be able to turn whatever weapon he was using into his spell focus item.
What's the benefit of a spell focus item? I'm not...
He gets to add 1d4 to any damage he does with it. So anytime he's holding it and does and casts magic or casts a divinity, he gets to add an extra d4. Yeah.
That's cute.
So it's like a little thing, but it's like a little thing of focus, right?
How much is that?
That is 500 gold. A small clay pot. And she looks at it and she was like, I know this is magical. I know you have to grow something inside it, but I do not know what it does. All I know is that once you do grow something inside it, it can never be used again.
Oh.
As the pot cannot be used again or the plant cannot be used again?
That's all she knows, that the pot will shatter when something is grown in it.
Is there anything on the pot or is this a clay pot?
Yeah, there's all these little drawings of like, what's the case? You know Sudowood, the Pokemon?
Yeah.
Looks like that. It looks like a bunch of like animated plants.
It doesn't look like our cactus friend at all.
No,
right?
It doesn't look like him at all. Yeah. All right.
Okay,
but kind of reminiscent of him.
Probably just in a cartoony way. Yeah. How much does she want for the pot?
20 gold.
Oh, well, that's happening.
The last item. This is the most special thing I have. And she picks it up. This is a decanter of endless water. And she unscrews the cap and she says a word, which is the draconic word for trickle. And when she does that, water begins to pour out of it like you would normally pour water out of a flask. But it's endless. She can pour endless clean water. And then when she turns it up, it stops. She has two more command words. The second one puts out more water. The third one, she turns, like, just pointing directly towards one of the Agranta, about 20 feet away. And a geyser of water fires out and just starts to, like, strip dirt off the side of the Agranta. And she holds it there for a good 30 seconds, says the command word again, and it stops. Then she recaps it and places it down. I will only accept trade for this item.
This is reminiscent of that thing that Torvik had, right?
A jug of many things, I believe it's called. It does oil and water and mayonnaise. Like
alcohol or something.
Alcohol. Yeah, that's really all he used it for was the alcohol.
Yeah.
So those are the items set before you.
And not for a jet ski that we're going to build.
Oh, the water park for our panini shop and laundromat.
Panini shop slash laundromat. Yeah, exactly.
Slash water park.
Right.
Perfect.
Slash greenhouse with this pot or whatever.
Well, no, it's one use. You can't make a business out of that.
Kill her and take all her stuff.
Damn. The Michael shining through.
Bold move. Let's see if it pays off.
I'm sorry, Haldir. I didn't realize you had joined them.
Roll for initiative.
So Rena just like takes 20 gold, plops it down, and is like, I want the clay pot.
And if you would like anything else, she'll sell it to you, or she's happy to give you the information now as well.
When Tiago came through, did he buy any info from you? And then did he buy any magical items from you, if he did?
He provided me with something, yes.
Okay. We're going to have to get to the bottom of that. But if I have a question about like a mechanic thing. A bit.
Sure.
I had tried, I don't think I did this in front of you guys. I had this idea by myself. But if I have a piece of Godstone, you say it stores divinity. So if I have a piece of Godstone, just like a tiny piece, and I put one of my points of lucky in it, can anyone use that?
I would say yes, but you lose it.
Yeah, I lose it for the day.
And you lose it every day until it's, every day. So every day until that's spent, you'd be one point down. Long as that point's inside that thing, it's been given up until it gets spent, and then it'll return to you on the following day. So you can, but it's costly.
Because that's a great barter skill. I was also just
it's
thinking,
pretty great.
Like, I could also
it's
just
pretty
give it.
Great.
I was hoping I could.
Which
do
you
it.
Could, you could make smaller ones. So instead of giving away a whole basically advantage, instead of giving that away, you could give away like a 1d4 like bard thing.
Yeah.
To like and to like whatever they choose, they could use it for bardic inspiration and get like 1d4 or 1d6 added to a d20. You could do that.
Okay, so I'm going to give one of those to the party at some point.
That's a really good idea. That's an excellent
literally,
idea.
Literally, like, my brother and I were, like, scheming this. We were like, well.
It should look like a little casino chip with Rena's face on it, right?
It just says, like, Joe Dar on it, you know, and, like, and then it's like, there was, like, something on it.
So you could totally do that.
Like,
but
all
for right
hail
now,
Rena on it. Like, just
it's just a picture of you, and it says, you owe me. That's all it says on it. Is there anything else you want, Doro? Did you want to purchase anything else from her?
I wonder how perceptive she is.
You want to try and steal? I mean, they're on a table in front of her. She seems to be paying close attention. These obviously are valuable. This is her job. You know, she seems competent. And there is a crossbow leaning on the wall next to her, the size of her. I mean, the size of you.
Looking around, are there like, does she have like a guard anywhere, like even if they're like hiding
outside? There were other ones. As far as ones hiding, go ahead and roll perception.
Okay, cool. 20.
So you're scanning around the bar and you're looking. It's gonna take a couple minutes as you're kind of like looking into all the areas and into all the darkness around you. Dora, while she's doing that, did you want to buy anything else?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
I'll be a good guy.
What do you want to buy?
Been a good guy in a while. I want to buy the black candle.
The black candle costs 50 gold. She happily sells that to you. Anything else?
No, I can't afford anything else.
Mood.
Then she starts to pick. Yeah, she begins to like pick all the items up and put them back into the chest. As she's doing that, Rena, you're scanning around and you see a glow, a very, very faint glow up in the rafters, about maybe 30 feet up and against the edge of the barn, maybe another 50 feet into the barn, where the Granta are.
Like in the stall or up in the rafters?
Up in the rafters.
A glow.
Yeah, like kind of a sickly pale glow, but similar to the astral realm. That kind of pink and purple swirling energy. As you're looking at that, she turns to both of you and says, "So this Tiago, yes, he did come with a friend. Tall woman, blonde, sparkly red dress. Odd, seemed out of place, but very confident in herself." Those two were in 3 days ago. Tiago asked about one individual, had an image of him, and it was so clearly drawn, and the paper was shiny. It was like nothing she'd ever seen before. It looked exactly like a person inside a strange metal box with glass in it and wheels, but there was no horse pulling it, and it was surrounded by giant towers of pure glass. And it's Haldir.
Oh.
She's just describing this, right? Where she's not like showing us this thing.
Correct. She doesn't have the photo, but she's describing what it is and how it was very unusual for her.
And when she describes Haldir, we know it's Haldir.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, she describes Haldir to a T.
Okay.
She's
like, the fancy furs and the hard to forget.
Wasn't wearing the furs in this photo, but everything else about him is very clearly Haldir.
Okay.
Also, the one in the red dress seemed to have had a direct interaction with him, because when it got to the actual descriptions of how he talked and walked, she's the one who took over.
What did Ariska look like?
So she had red hair and was kind of short, like around 5'4".
Okay. Just checking.
So definitely not her.
No, yeah. Weird. I don't know who that is. That's so weird. Okay.
Joe knows.
But, okay, so Tiago Reese was here, but... So she didn't say anything about...
Rina's going to tap Dora on the shoulder, and then she's going to lean down, and in halfling, she's going to say, "Is it at, like, my, like, what? Like, my, like, 9 o'clock? Or, like, my, like, 10 o'clock?"
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I say,
it's at 9 o'clock.
I just say 10 o'clock, like rafters, and then like lean back up. I'm trying to look like I'm Doro's guard to a certain degree. So.
You're his muscle. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like passing a message, you know?
So Doro, do you know what 9 o'clock means?
So first off, as she's doing this, like, so she's never done this before, and I've never experienced her like speaking halfling or anything like that. I totally pop like a, "What the fuck? You can, what the?
You can speak halfling?"
Like, totally like taken aback. Like, you know, when you're in a foreign country and you're just kind of trying to make your way around, and then someone comes up to you with like perfect English or something, you're like, "What? Oh, but I totally understand that. That's so weird." So yeah, I totally pop like a "what the fuck" look at her while she's doing that, and then she raises back up and is like looking all like, "Yeah, we're gonna get this done. We're cool, huh?" And I absolutely jump up on this table where the items are, like shaking some of them, and the Goliath is like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
And I point at her and I say in halfling, like, "When did you learn this? How long have you known how to talk like this?"
And Nira's just kind of looking at both of you, but she laughs because she knows kind of you. She knows the stories of you. This is not unusual for her. And she's just putting all the items back into the chest. As you follow her eyeline, Adoro, you see the energy she was talking about. It's growing brighter. And some of the Granta are starting to complain and shuffle and call out. And now Nira is paying attention. She's like, come. "Calm yourselves, calm." And she's trying to like, and she's walking over towards where the Granta are to give them direction.
I point towards the astral, you know, energy kind of flare up that's happening in the rafters and say towards Nira, "What's that?"
And she looks up and she frowns at it as it begins to grow brighter and crackle with energy. And a couple more spots now are glowing around you, and some of the Granta are beginning to shout.
Okay, so Rina takes out her bow and arrow, and she shoots off an arrow into the direction of one of them, and she shoots her light arrow and just does, like, yellow to see if she can see, like, what it is.
So you fire this arrow, you say Elven in light, and you let go of it, and it illuminates into daylight as it fires into the rafters. This bright path of light shines over everything, and the grunt all kind of rear back as they're surprised by the light. But as it gets towards the rafters, it illuminates this glob of pulsating flesh that's just covered in ears. And as it does that, you hear one of the Granta scream. It rears back, and there's a crackling bit of pink and purple energy on their back as you notice a godstone embedded into their flesh, and black lines are growing all over it as its veins turn. You hear bones cracking and snapping inside it as it screams, and its eyes turn like that pink and purple of the astral realm. I would like you all to roll initiative.
Is this like the zombies?
Different, but similar.
Okay.
And this isn't like the flesh monster that we saw in like Para's house.
As it's transforming and cracking and groaning, it sounds exactly like the flesh monster in Para's house.
Fucking A, okay.
Initiative.
17.
17.
26.
Oh, who's keeping initiative? Michael.
Oh, Michael! Yay! Thank you, Michael!
One second.
Michael's the best! That was a 26 for you? Fucking hell, you're so crazy with initiative.
Hell yeah.
Nira gets she gets a 19. She does all right.
Oh, admirably.
And the Granta will all go on 9. So you can all act first.
Okay, sorry. Who got what now?
So she rolled a 19. Kelly rolled a 26, I think Rena rolled. Yeah. And Doro rolled a 16?
17.
And then the Granta rolled a 10.
First to act, Rena.
So the Granta, is it in a pen?
They all are in pens.
Okay.
But these pens are not normally made for Granta. So they, as they begin to shuffle and move, it doesn't look like they're going to be constrained for long. And the one that just roared back and yelled is turning all black as those black veins are shooting through its body. It lands on its gate and just crushes it.
So she's going to take her first action as her first arrow, and she's going to fire an entangle arrow on the Granta that has the, or the thingy, the godstone in it or whatever.
You can also see two others, by the way, beginning to transform. So there appears to be three of them in total.
18 to hit.
Okay, 18 hits.
Cool. And then it acts like the entangle spell.
Okay, so entangle, it's a strength save. So what is your divinity modifier?
Let's see. My divinity score is 16, so my modifier is a 3.
Okay. All right, I'm going to roll strength. And I rolled a 19. So you do hit it. Go ahead and roll damage.
Okay, so I got a 4 for damage.
Okay, so its hide is thick. The arrow doesn't bury itself as deep as you thought it would. I mean, you've struck it. You've clearly drawn blood, but it doesn't seem that phased. And the vines that wrap around it are quickly snapped as it rears back because it's pretty strong and pretty large.
Okay, so she has an extra attack, so she's just going to do that again. So we're trying to get...
Vines, vines, vines!
Vines, vines, vines!
Ah!
Oh, God. Okay, and that was a 30 to hit. And then...
That absolutely hits. That 100%. We're dead in between the eyes. That hits.
And that is a 6 for damage.
All right. So you put two arrows right next to each other. The vines burst out. I'm going to roll again for him. This time he rolls a natural 20 on strength. So those vines don't stand a chance. He's just tearing through them. But you've hit him twice, and he is bleeding and angry. So well done.
Okay. And then she's trying to move to a corner. She wants to be able to, so she gets vantage point on, everything.
Imagine you've walked into this long barn. There are rows of Granta on either side of you and then Granta in the front of you. So the only way to be, you'd have to move back towards the entrance to have your back covered, basically.
I don't want to be, okay, so how far away is the entrance from me?
About 50 feet.
I don't want to have my back to the open because my brain is just Tiago's here.
You either have your back to the open or if you have your back to Granta.
I'll have my back to Granta, but Rina tries to look for one that might not be possessed by the weird flesh monster.
There are several that aren't possessed. Okay. So there's about a dozen of them in total. The ones that aren't possessed are freaked out by the ones that are and are trying to get away. So it looks like a stampede is going to start on their turn.
Rina tries to stand in between like two of the gates. Like, you know, like so like if they both popped open, she would be like standing like in the middle of the two of them.
Nira is trying to calm the animals. So she's over on one side, like with the one she was taking care of, like do not worry, calm, do not be angry. And she's trying to get them under control. So she's going to roll animal handling. All right, she rolled a 19. So she is calming the one in front of her, but she's not able to calm the others. Doro, what are you doing?
Just one quick question, real quick. I don't have any of my divinity stuff on my character sheet, so how do you figure out the role to do stuff with your power? What is it?
You can teleport whenever you want, but because you have that down by now. If you tried to teleport other people or other things, then you'd have to make a roll. But as far as moving, you can teleport 90 feet whenever you want in any direction as your movement.
Divinity score though is 10 plus your proficiency plus whatever your modifier is for whatever your divinity comes from.
I think okay. For travel it's dex, right?
Yeah, it was wisdom for a while, but we decided that was silly because it didn't make sense.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah,
and that means because
except for knowing your direction,
did our proficiency bonus go up or no?
I think it's still plus three.
Mine says three.
Yeah, so it's plus three and then plus your dex, which is plus four or plus three.
Mine says plus seven.
Your dex, no, that's your dexterity save. What does it say underneath dex?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Plus four.
Plus four. So you have you roll 10 plus seven whenever you roll your divinity.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So how many Granta are infected?
Three are definitely infected. The rest just seem freaked out.
How many are not infected?
About 12. And only one of them seems under control right now.
Is the light still up in the rafters?
Yeah, so that arrow just stuck to the roof and is shining bright light down, and you can very clearly see this sack of ear flesh. It's about 3 feet wide to about 1 foot wide. It tends to change shape, but it's about that size.
But it's like a ball of ears?
It's like a ball of ears, yeah, basically. All stuck to each other, all fused together.
Can I comfortably, like, pretty efficiently just teleport up there next to the thing
easily right up in the rafters?
Yeah, so I want to get within I definitely want to get within 5 feet of that thing.
Yep, done.
And then I want to pull out my Thunderstone and slam it on the ground right next to it.
Oh dear. Okay, so you pull this little Thunderstone out and you just slam it into the rafter and it creates a thunder wave out of it. The ears scream as you burst two, three dozen eardrums all at once. Blood starts to ooze out of it as it kind of deflates, flops over, and falls to the ground, seemingly dead? Seemingly. Hard to know if it was alive, but if it was alive, it appears dead.
Good. Well, I mean, some part of me likes to believe that was a piece of Cyril, so there.
It was. Excellent. He's not going to be happy about that because he was definitely there. Listening. So that did suck for him.
I kind of wish I could take it with me and wear it like a badge of honor.
Well, I guess you could. That's weird. Is there anything
like a hat? I want to make a hat out of it.
Is there anything else Doro can do in that round?
No. Okay. That's it. I just wanted to hurt him. I can't. There's no way I can CC these giant things. What am I supposed to do? So just get out of the way. Maybe better capable people can handle it.
Well, you did handle whatever this was. Unfortunately, a thunder bolt, basically, was the last thing these Granta really needed to freak out. So on their turn, they're going to stampede. They, all the ones that are healthy, break down their doors, charge out. Rina, you are just in the middle as two of these guys charge right next to you. Nira is still able to control the largest one in front of her, but the others charge past and all storm towards the entrance in a herd of about a dozen. Thank you for joining us for Season 6, Episode 1, Countdown, Part 1.
We are busy recording and editing the next chapter of God's Fall, and you can listen to Season 6, Episode 2 right now at patreon.com/godsfall. We'll see you next time in the world of the Five Kingdoms. This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.